Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's time for our hymn sing, so if you have a favorite hymn, please raise your hand and we will see if we can accommodate you. Oh, come on, somebody's got a favorite.
How about 277?
277?
Yeah.
Virginia chooses 277.
One and three. That's an old time one. Deb.
534, 1 and 3.
534?
Yes.
Okay.
Lay the cross of grief for pain.
Number 530, 1 and 4. Squeeze in one kind of short one, if anybody's got one.
714-1-4.
I'm sorry, the number?
714-714.
714. 1 and 4, you said?
714, yes, fine.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Diane. It was gorgeous as always. I want to welcome everyone this morning to the House of Faith, the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, and especially welcome any guest we may have this morning that may be attending for the first time. Please sign in using the now not so new pew pads. You'll find the little packet of stuff in the rack. It should be in the rack in front of you. Sign in, and also if you have any prayer requests, you can put them on that same piece of paper and tear that off and put it in the basket that's in the at the end of the pew, the aisle end of the pew. And I'd like to invite everyone to join us after the service in a fellowship across the breezeway for coffee, tea, and usually some really wonderful goodies and some really great conversation. I'd like to wish everyone for this month a happy birthday, and you don't have that much longer, so keep celebrating. You know my rules. You get the whole month. But happy birthday to everyone. Debbie, Ray, Karen, Dale, Judy, Joanne, Ron, Larry, Colleen, Kelly, Katie, Steve, Susan, Lori, Jack, and Mark. And anyone else who may have a birthday. Also, happy anniversary to Steve and Ann Mickle, Mike and Carol Pastilli, and Perry and Linda King. Excuse me, I've got a rough voice this morning. Are there any other announcements before I go too much further? I don't want to forget. I tend to forget to ask you for additional announcements. Do remember we are the cereal church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, other food items, non-perishables at any time to help. It's taken at the end of the month to ICSC. So they can distribute it to families in need. Just put it in one of the pews in the narthex out there, and at the end of the month, it will be collected and distributed. And I'm sure more and more people are needing it. Parents' Night Out, Friday, August 28th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. They're going to be watching Shaun the Sheep and some other claymation shorts and learn about how they make those kind of movies and make your own characters to take home. So please do join. They have a lot of fun. If there are no further announcements, let's go to the call to worship, and please stand as you are able. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
And please remain standing for our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 77.
Thank you.
And now, while everyone's still standing, please pass the peace with your neighbor.
Yours isn't.
Now he's done. All right. Good morning to you all. So glad to see you. I know many of us are traveling here, and we miss them, but regardless of the weather, we are here to worship our wonderful God. So I extend a welcome to everybody worshiping together with us in this beautiful sanctuary and online. Kenny is back to the earth. Welcome back, Kenny, from somewhere in the universe. Yes, and welcome to Chris and David down in Hemet, and welcome to the one who has joined us on iPhone. Thank you for coming.
I'd like to start out by asking for special prayers for Steve Dyerly. He's out of the hospital and home, but he's really not doing well, and he's very uncomfortable, so please pray for him and for Joanne. Joanne started her hip, physical therapy. So she's doing okay. She's just got to build up some muscle. But prayers for both of them especially. Good to see you, Ron.
Well, last Sunday, I came back from a trip to Minnesota, and I go every year. This was for a class reunion of five classes, the class of 67, 68, 69, 70, and 71. Diminishing returns sometimes go on at that stage, but we had 35 representative and then some spouses, so we had a pretty good number of people in this little town. I graduated with 20 kids in 1969, 10 boys, 10 girls, and 18 of us are still around, but some don't come and some are far away, me being one of them. But anyway, so I'm alone. Flew there, and American Airlines over to Dallas and then up to Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. And I rent a car at Enterprise, and I go spend 10 days there. And coming back, you want to fill the car up with gas. They expect that when you rent a car. So I'm in a busy gas station about 20 miles south of the cities, easier in on and off the freeway instead of doing it right in the heart of St. Paul or something. So anyway, it's a busy gas station, and I have my knapsack on the passenger side, and then I have my billfold and smartphone in my hand usually, and it's on the seat next to me in the passenger seat, which is empty except for that. Then there's busy, and I put it under the seat, okay, the smartphone and my billfold. And I take $40 out to tell the clerk, I'm going to fill this thing up, but I'll get some change back, so I'll come back in for that. Well, anyway, long story short, I get to the airport, check in my Enterprise car with my billfold and smartphone under the driver's seat. This is a dilemma, okay? Because I don't detect this until I get into the airport. There's a little tram you take, and I realize my real ID is not with me. It's in the billfold. It's with the smartphone. It's under the seat.
Oh, boy.
So I turn around really fast, get back on that little tram, take it out to the rental car area, and I go up and say, 20 minutes ago, I checked my car in, and would you believe it, I have left my billfold and my smartphone under the driver's seat. And so the person behind the desk, they had three people working at Enterprise, was going to run fast. What car was it? I said it was a Honda Civic Sport in a gray color. So I had only $15 in my pocket left from the 40 I got back from the gas station. I said, here's 15. Can you hurry up and get that car, if possible? Well, what happened was they go have a washing bay in the area where they wash it. They vacuum it out probably. And then it gets turned around. Well, this car got turned around in 20 minutes.
Oh.
So there I am in a dilemma. And it reminded me of your message last week where the lady was prepared to play this opus something or other, and it wasn't the one she saw in front of her. It was just kind of like froze for a while. And what do I do now? What do I do now? Well, this person, I gave the $15, hopefully you can catch up to that car, but he came back and said, it's been turned around already. And so they have the phone number when that person rented the car and stuff, and said, we're going to call them up, we're going to see if they'll look under the seat and whatever. Where should I go from there? Anyway, long stories after that. I sat down, just like that woman, and my expression had to be very empty in what's going on now. Do I try and rent a car again and see if I can get up there and they'll believe me that I need a car for 2 days to rearrange my life here? But anyway, I just said, it's in your hands, God. Let's see what happens here. And sure enough, they were able to get that person look under that seat. They were driving away from the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport somewhere, probably not too far, but they came back. I got the two pieces that I needed, and I got in, and God made that line empty when I got in there. Are you believing that? And then I got down there. I'm the last person. I said, can I still board? And they said, yeah, you're right at the end.
All right.
But anyway, God, praise be to God that he took care of me in that.
What an adventure. We are surely happy that you came back in one piece.
The last several weeks, I've been missing June Fisher on Zoom. And so I called the church at the beginning of the week, and Linda talked with June, I guess, and said, June said her computer died. And that's why she's not been on Zoom, but she was doing well and attending a Sunday afternoon church service at Golden Oaks, or whatever it's called now. And she said 30 people are gathering for that service. It's sort of an ecumenical thing that they've started at her building. And then she said the most lovely couple moved in to her building, but and actually next door to her. And she said, but now they're going back to their old house. And I said, is that Harry and Ellen? Because they're moving back to El Dorado Palms. So her lovely neighbors are my lovely neighbors.
Very nice. I'm going to write an article about the Richard Brown, who has left a very generous amount to the church. Ethel Hitchcock, or Brown, if any of you remember, used to attend the church, and Richard Brown is her son. And the memorial, actually burial service was held yesterday at a mortuary in Redland, and it was a very lovely service, and you will hear more about him on the newsletter that I'm going to write. Just want to share that.
Is Richard Brown.
Richard Brown.
Is there anyone on Zoom that has something? Raise your hand and we'll let you unmute.
Well, we'll see. April and Bill are here with us. Welcome, welcome. Do we have anybody else that we missed?
If you would join me now in a unison prayer. Have mercy on me, O Lord Jesus, according to your great compassion. I know my transgressions. Against you I have sinned. Cleanse me of all my sins that I may be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit. Accept my sacrifices of a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In your precious name, amen.
Let us continue our prayers in silence. Let's pray for all those who are in need of our prayers at our church, in our life circle. And let us remember our churches here in Yucaipa and everywhere in the world. Let's remember that God can bring revival back to his churches. And we definitely need to pray for this nation and for so many other nations in the world today. Dear Lord Jesus, we are so happy that we can get together to worship you, to recognize you and your great work in our lives. We are in need of recharging our drained energies, that we may receive empowerment from your Holy Spirit once more, that we can get our mind and our emotions and our body refreshed. We definitely need to come to you and receive the empowerment that comes from worshiping you. So that's why we are here. We pray that we will be given the assurance of your presence once more, that the Holy Spirit will come and touch each and every one of us, that we may receive the empowerment and healing that comes from your Holy Spirit, that we will be transformed, that we will have a new look at our life. Instead of being discouraged by the problems we face, but we will have a new eye to look at things differently, because you are with us and you intervene in our lives and lead us into the path that you have prepared for us. We are safe in you. We are being guided by your presence. So that, O Lord, as we focus on what you do and your presence in our lives, we can forget about all the things that have bothered us, troubled our hearts. We can praise you. So, Lord, we ask you to come unto us through your Holy Spirit and touch us and speak to us, encourage us, that we may receive that recharge that we need to continue on. So here we are worshiping together, asking you to reveal your will, reveal your presence unto us, that we may feel you, that we may see you, that we may be able to talk to you and touch you even, and be assured of your living presence with us. We once more submit ourselves to you and to your will, acknowledging that our life is in you and you have a perfect control over our life's path. So to you, O Lord, and to your will, your plan, we yield and pray that you continue to use us individually, use this church and this community and your country and the world to fulfill your will. So we now join our prayers, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is number 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy own beside reach forth. We have seen the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's demand. Could my zeal or rest but know, could my tears forever flow, all my sin could not shall atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Make it come to thee for dress, helpless flow to thee for grace. All out to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 20. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them within the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she resided within the wall itself. She said to them, "Go toward the hill country, so that the pursuers may not come upon you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days, until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way." The men said to her, "We will be released from this oath that you have made us swear to you if we invade the land and you do not tie this crimson cord in the window through which you let us down, and you do not gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your family. If any of you go out of the doors of your house into the street, they shall be responsible for their own death, and we shall be innocent. But if a hand is laid upon any who are with you in the house, we shall bear the responsibility for their death. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be released from this oath that you made us swear to you." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everybody. So glad to see you here in this beautiful sanctuary, even though the temperature may be a bit hot. We can still worship the Lord in this cool sanctuary. And I also welcome to everyone who has come online to worship together with us. A young couple and their little boy went to the beach on a scorching summer day like today, only to be greeted by a giant red flag waving in the wind, a warning of rough water and high surf. "Extreme caution advice," read the sign. The boy, convinced he was part dolphin, was ready to dive in head first, but his mom put a stop to his aquatic ambitions. Instead, the parents stretched out on the sand while the boy set to work building a sandcastle complete with a channel, a drawbridge, and a "No Parents Allowed" sign. After half an hour, the dad, already sunburned on one side,
and a little bored, nudged his wife. "Keep an eye on our little lifeguard over there. I'm going in. There's no way the sea is as dangerous as everyone says." He marched up bravely, flip-flops squeaking in protest. Soon after, the boy looked up from his sandy construction, puzzled. "Mom, why does Dad get to go in the water, but I don't?" "Because you and the Dad are different," Mom replied. "Is it because Dad can swim like a fish?" "Not exactly." "Is it because Dad is big and strong?" "Nope." "Then why can't Dad go? Can Dad go in and I can't?" The mom glanced at her husband, heroically waving in the shallow water, and said, "Because Dad has life insurance." Insurance is generally accepted as a means of security. People pursue so many things to secure a good life, such as money, power, fame, healthy relationship with others, education, hobbies, and professions of interest, and the list goes on. Building a good life is a fundamental pursuit that everyone engages in. However, whatever they achieve can mean little or nothing in the end, because they cannot take anything with them to the next stage. What does that tell us? It tells us that the lifelong quest people strive for is off the mark. You know, the Hebrew word hatar literally means, that's a sin for the Hebrew word. Hatar is a sin. And that literally means missing the mark. Or it tells us that it does not give them the true meaning of life. So what is the right question everyone should ask? And what is the right quest to strive for? The design of the tabernacle, along with the story of Rahab and how she and her family were saved when the Israelites entered Canaan, gives a straightforward answer, which we will look into this morning. First, let's explore the design of the tabernacle together, and then we will briefly examine the story of Rahab and the spies. Dev, if you don't mind, I'm going to start sharing that. Thank you. God designed the tabernacle and its worship with incredible detail, as comprehensively described in Exodus 25 through 38. Exodus has 40 chapters, and the 14 chapters, about one-third of the book, are dedicated to the design of the tabernacle. So look at the first slide, and I have come prepared today. See, the tabernacle is right in the middle, right? And then God told them to station 12 tribes of Israel in four areas, north, south, east, and west. And they would not have known why God told them to group of three and then let them camp in different locations. They would not have any idea until someone with the aerial view see the whole camp. So what does it look like? Look like a cross, right? It's a hidden design, deeply embedded in the guidance of God of Israel and in the design of the tabernacle. And the hidden design, like the cross pattern, is found in the material, the structures, furnishings of the tabernacle, as well as in the worship practices of the priests and the people. And all these hidden designs foreshadow the coming Messiah. Tabernacle is filled with fascinating patterns, but people often overlook their connection to the Messiah. One pattern people miss is in the fabric and yarns God instructed. I don't know whether you have had a chance to look into this, but we are going to look into it together. So let's look at the second slide, please. God told Moses to choose three beautiful colors for the yarns, blue, purple, and scarlet. When these three yarns are twisted together, they created a new color and pattern. Let's go to the next one. See that? There is one more addition to the three yarns. Twisted white linen, which makes the overall color lighter and brighter. So where was this twisted yarn used? Let's go to the next one. You see, the twisted yarn was used for the gate entrance. There's a tabernacle right there. Entrance to the tabernacle. And see, that's the curtain that divides the holy place and holy of holies. You see that it was used to craft the gate of the tabernacle's courtyard. That's right there. Where only priests entered to offer sacrifices. Here's an interesting connection. There was only one gate. There's only one gate in there, as you can see. Into the courtyard, which Jesus described as the only way into heaven. In John 10, 7 and 9, Jesus refers to himself as the sheep gate, saying, "I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Also, the twisted yarn formed the entrance to the tabernacle and the curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Jesus, the perfect high priest, entered not only the holy place, but also the Holy of Holies to offer forgiveness for sins once and for all. Let's go to the next slide. I had a bit of trouble finding the right pictures. In my opinion, the color of the entrance, right here, that's the entrance of the tabernacle, and then the Holy of Holies right there, they are not exactly accurate. But it still helped illustrate the furnishings inside the holy place. So what you see in here in the holy place, the menorah, the table of showbread, and then the table of incense. All the other items, I don't know whether they are included in the scripture or not, but it helps to identify where they are. Now, the menorah, the table of showbread, and the table of incense, these symbolize Jesus' character as the light of the world, the light of the world, bread of life, and the incense that goes up to God, the mediator that connects the Creator and God's creation. Let's go on to the sixth slide, please. And this is the curtain that divides the holy place and holy of holies. And God told them to include the cherubim. And this is not exactly, to me, a cherubim. Cherubim is not exactly the figure of angels. But, if you have seen the picture that covers the Ark of the Covenant with the wings, two wings on both ends,
that's like a cherubim. But anyway, that's basically gives you an idea of what it might have looked like. And this is the cotton. You can see the color of the yarns, of those four yarns twisted together. And this is the cotton that was torn from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus, as the sacrificial Passover lamb and our high priest, offered himself as the perfect ransom. He's the ultimate high priest who entered the Holy of Holies with his own blood for the forgiveness of sins, breaking down the barrier that separated God and his people. Let's go on to the next one. See that this is the tabernacle. See the front part of it? That's the covering. The first covering, there are many coverings in here, but the first inner covering of the tabernacle was woven together with those four yarns, three yarns, and then the twisted linen. Because it covered the whole tabernacle, it symbolized the entire tabernacle and everything in it represent Jesus the Messiah. John's Gospel highlight Jesus coming into the world saying, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." Now the word, Greek word dwelling is skeno. Skeno. You know what that skeno means? It means a pitch a tent. So when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word, the Logos, Jesus became flesh and pitched a tent among us, dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, which indicate that Jesus was the tabernacle, came down from heaven to the earth. Now, if you would, let's skip the next one and then go to the, yeah, we'll come back to that later on, but the last one, yes, let's go back to that again. Why did the particular yarns have to be used over and over? We see all those areas, the entrance to the tabernacle, the entrance to the outer courtyard, the curtains, and then coverings of the tabernacle. Blue stands for God in heaven. Purple is royal. Remember when Jesus was arrested, the soldiers put a purple robe and a crown of thorns on him and mocked him, saying, "Hail the King of the Jews." The purple symbolized king. Scarlet means sins and the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God. And the white, the twisted white linen, white means sinless and purity. So if you put those yarns together with the white linen, it means the identity and the work of the Messiah. The sinless king of the universe who forgives sinners, or the king of the universe who forgives sins like scarlet and make them clean as white as snow, as spoken in Isaiah 1:18. Let's go back to the one before. Yes, thank you. And the same yarns were used to knit the ephod. You know what the ephod is? Ephod is it's like an apron right in front. And the breast piece, right? And the sash around his waist. And then there is in the bottom, pomegranates. Pomegranates,
and then the golden bells alternating all throughout in the hem of the blue robe. They are all woven together with the same kind of yarns. The meaning of the whole thing is the priesthood and the priest's attire represent Jesus as the high priest who offers sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you very much. This profound design of God's plan for salvation through Jesus, the Messiah, deeply rooted in the tabernacle and its worship. And this one reappears throughout the Old Testament. And one good example is the story of Rahab and the spy that we read. The pact the spies made with Rahab conveys the same message found in the tabernacle's design. Rahab, who led a life she was ashamed of, courageously took on an extraordinary step by hiding the spies at great personal risk. Ultimately, it was not just her commendable action that saved her, but the scarlet cord hanging in a window. When Israel conquered Jericho, they focused solely on that scarlet cord in a window and saved her. This is exactly what will happen. When we someday stand before God, God will look for the same sign in us. He will look if we have the scarlet cord. Sadly, many ignore this principle of salvation and think they have secured their salvation through popular human means. I have a good story to explain that. According to V. Dion Hines and Jim Matesia in the Chicago Tribune, some astonishing news came forth in the aftermath of the tragic auto accident that killed Princess Diana in 1997. The chauffeur of the car had three times the legal limit of alcohol in his bloodstream. Furthermore, the police estimated the car had been going as fast as 120 miles per hour when the crash occurred in the Paris tunnel. Clearly, the wrong man was at the wheel of the princess's car. But that is not unusual for celebrities, reported one security expert. Jerry Hoffman, president of a Cincinnati-based company that builds armored cars and train drivers, said, "My experience is that a person will spend hundreds of thousands on a limo, then spend no money on training the person to drive it. The driver is hired based on how friendly he is." No doubt after Diana's death, many celebrities began to pay more attention to whether their chauffeur could get them safely to their destination than whether he could carry on a charming conversation. What takes us to our final destination safely and securely? We often focus on building credentials to reach heaven, investing all our time, money, and energy. Yet we might overlook a crucial factor that truly determines our eternal destiny. When we stand before God, the only qualification He looks for is the scarlet cord, signifying whether we have been washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. This is clearly illustrated in the design of the tabernacle and in the story of Rahab and the spies. In fact, the Bible repeats this important truth throughout the scripture. from Genesis to Revelation. In Revelation, the Apostle John saw in a vision while exiled on Patmos Island a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. They are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Many trust in their own virtue, believing their good deeds will lead them to heaven. But remember, it wasn't Moses or any other great figures of faith who designed the tabernacle. It was God Himself perfecting it according to the divine pattern that reflects how salvation is achieved. When God repeats something, He didn't just repeat a few times, He just repeats over and over and over, all throughout the tabernacle design and all throughout the scripture. When God repeats something, it shows how serious He is. It tells that there's an unchangeable truth for all eternity. Sadly, many people, whether believers or not, mistakenly think that they can find their own way to salvation. No matter what the world says, we cling to Jesus, for He is the only Lamb of God who can remove the sins of the world. So our prayers should be, Lord, cleanse me anew with your blood, so I am washed as white as snow. Amen.
Now's the time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. You can put your offering in the plate in the back or get it to the office either by mail or bring it in person. Thank you.
from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of gifts. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Dear Lord, we stand before your cross. We remember your love for us, your sacrifice for us, the forgiveness of sins that you have offered unto us. So, Lord, we recognize your great act of salvation and give you thanksgiving. We ask you to receive this offering and use it to build your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is in the insert in your bulletin, Are You Washed in the Blood?
Blood of the Lamb, are you fully trusting in His grace, His Son? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless or they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless or they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robe be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion's bride? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless or they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let us pray. Lord, we have heard the core of the gospel message once more, and please help us remember that the very ultimate question that we all should ask is if we are washed by your blood. So, Lord, we humbly repent our sins and ask you to wash us clean as white as snow by your blood. Because your blood can only wash our stains. So we ask this blessing that comes from your cross. And as we go back to our realities, O Lord, may we always remain grateful to your cross, that we may give our very best to live our life with this gratitude for your cross. We ask your blessing as we leave this place and ask you to send us forth in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Oh, he will guide you here.